my side. I lost some feeling, girl, I'm jaded. It's your girls, Tiffany and Ange, and you are listening to Big T Energy. We have Eric Bartel, prior Army officer and co-founder of Echelon Energy Drink, back in the studio because he was just so much fun to talk to. We continue to chat about his success after getting out of the military with Bravo Sierra and Echelon. Then the three of us, of course, dive into the relationship talk. And Eric shares many of his little nuggets of wisdom he has learned along the way after being with his wife for over a decade. And at one point, we discussed who should take priority, your spouse or your kids. What do you guys think? You'll hear our answers and much more coming right up. Also, don't forget to check out all the links below and find out how you can contact Eric and try all the products to his amazing companies.
And by the time this airs, it'll probably be fine, but we're launching Amazon.
Good for you.
Thanks.
Good, because then that's... Now I can just order my cases and I get my free prime shipping. And
exactly. And Bravo Sierra
is incredible.
Bravo Sierra has killed it on Amazon. We're the number 7 deodorant on Amazon.
Damn.
And so Amazon was like, how the hell are, like, they were very confused. And we were very confused too, to be fair. We got approached by them. They invited us out to Seattle.
Did they really?
And yeah, so they do an annual like vendor thing and they invited us out. They paid for everything. And then they were like, we know you have another company and we want you to launch on Amazon. And so now we're going through the process with them right now of launching Echelon on Amazon.
Damn.
So freaking cool.
It was really cool.
I love that for you all.
I know.
Appreciate it.
No, seriously, because like, I think that just goes to show everyone what hard work and dedication can do. And when everyone like, cause the companies, aren't they primarily like veterans for you guys?
It started out about 50-50.
Okay.
Bravo Sierra is led by two non-veterans at the very top.
Okay.
One of them comes from a really long lineage of veterans. And so his grandfather is a World War II captain in the Navy.
Uh-huh.
Actually, it was a really cool story. He's the first person to sell Coca-Cola in Europe. So what he would do is when he would pretty much go back and forth delivering stuff from the United States to Europe to send it into the war front, he would section off like a little section of his ship. And that's where all the like Lickies and Chewies would go, right? And
yeah.
So he would bring Coke and candy and whatever he could for just the GI over there fighting on the front lines. And so that turned into a business and he started doing that after the Navy and he would just ship stuff like that because he had the know-how and he started building the network. But so that was his grandfather. And then they ended up running the USO for a while. His grandfather was the chairperson of the USO. His mother was the chairperson of the USO over in Europe. And so they're like super intricately involved in the military. And that's also why he was like, I want to do something and create a company with the military. Cause in his own right, he is the founder of Harmless Harvest, the coconut water.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has already done his own thing. And so this was like, this was more of a passion thing for him. He's like, I want to get back to the military. I want to create products for the military.
See, I know there's big like veteran companies out there. And I know that there are quite a bit of vets that work at them. But at the same time, I do know a lot of some of the like the higher up big money guys are civilians.
Yeah.
Right. Who might have ties similar to military or in the veteran community, but those guys have been in the business for a long time and they can help guide. And
that's exactly. And it's like what I was talking about before. It's like, you have to find that person who's done it before you. Cause you're not going to get out of the military and 9 times out of 10, you're not going to get out of the military and be like, I'm going to go found Black Rifle.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And that was in the works like years and years and years and years beforehand. I don't think people realize.
No. And even then you look at who's actually leading the company. They have a lot of civilians in there because these people are at the top of the field.
Yep.
And you can't just live within your community. But the cool thing is, which I love about what we've done, especially with Echelon, is we've done it within the community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are that military brand. All of our content's military. We didn't have to change to go mainstream.
To fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like been kind of the goal and the kind of North Star for what we've been trying to do is like, I think Black Rifle in most cases is a really big example of it. But it's like, okay, how do we show the best of our community?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we explain that like you can post humor and you can post this and you can post that and it's all the same community. Like,
I think what's going to be crazy, though, is that there's going to be people on Amazon who buy your guys' product and, you know, like, oh, it's going to get reviews and it's going to get moved up and more people are going to, you know, rave about it. There's going to be so many people who have no clue that it's even tied to a military community, unless they look at the can and then they see, because you guys have on the can that, like, proceeds.
Supports the Green Beret Foundation.
Yeah, supports the Green Beret Foundation. And isn't it also on the Bravo Sierra stuff as well, or no?
The Bravo Sierra give back is actually the MWR.
That's what it is. Okay, because I knew there was something on both. And so they would probably see that and be like, oh, that's cool, but they still might not.
Yeah, and I mean, there's no camo on the can. No. Like, it's one of the things I also wanted.
That's very smart.
I hate it because I mean, there's companies out there that I won't name, but that have no tie to the military that put camouflage on their stuff and they name it after military expressions. And and I'm like, you're just making money off of military and you have no ties. You weren't even a vet.
Yeah.
And it kills me. Cause I'm like, it's really shitty.
Yeah.
And then they bring in a couple military guys and give back a couple bucks here and there to cover for it. But that's besides the point. I was like, I want to create a product that isn't, I don't need to be military to sell a product. It's just a good product.
Yeah. But I do like that, like, your social media definitely does tailor to the military side.
Absolutely.
Which I definitely think that brings more in on that. But then I'm just saying on Amazon, people just be drinking the shit like, oh, I love this. And have no clue. Unless they like, unless their kid like looked it up on, you know, Instagram or something.
Absolutely. Even like when I said like one of our partners is Dog Pound. Mm-hmm. And it's like a very, again, like bougie training facility in New York City. And they have us in their gym and their clients have no clue we're a military company.
Yeah.
Like it's just a black can with a nice like aesthetic.
Your guys' aesthetic, you guys did good with that.
That's sure. And unless like they get told, they're just like, oh, this is a really powerful energy drink.
Yeah. The good thing is, hey, listen, if you're looking to poop, Echelon.
Yep. It'll keep you regular.
I don't think anything would keep me regular.
Angie, I promise you.
Dude, I've had Echelon plenty of times. And like I said earlier, it pairs really well with tequila. It doesn't.
Oh, okay. Angie has the hardest time. We always talk about pooping. Not always, but I talk about pooping quite a bit.
Because Tiffany can't stop and I can't.
So. Angie's like, can we not talk about pooping?
Can we not talk about pooping?
Just for once.
With Eric here, please. Well, so I know the number one question that we're probably going to get once this airs is, Angie, Tiffany, is Eric single? So no, he's not. Back off now. Okay. But you, I know you said you've been married.
My wife will appreciate that.
Married. You've been married. You are married.
I am married.
You have a couple kids.
Actively. Two kids.
Actively,
yes.
Still married. You said you met her in college.
Yes.
That's why it has worked out. Cause he didn't meet her in the military.
In the military.
Like this is why ours have failed.
No. So ours is for a reason for sure. Okay. So how long ago was that for you then? Cause that
was like 10 years.
What?
Dang. 10 years.
Good for you. That's a fucking accomplishment.
Wait. So 2013 was college.
I graduated college in 2013.
How old are you?
32.
Oh, okay.
So we've been together 11 years. Yeah.
Damn. Married for 11 or together for 11?
Together for 11. Don't ask me how long we've been
married. On the spot. It's okay. I don't expect.
Married for like 7.
Okay.
I'm going to go 7. It might be more than that.
It's like, that sounds good.
It's giving a very 7.
She's not going to watch this. I'll be fine.
No. It's okay. So is there, I mean, obviously you guys have been together for a while. Relationships or work. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. I am only say that because like, I know there's some people out there that's like, it should just be so easy and effortless. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, what fantasy land?
Same people are in a relationship.
You know? But it is work. It takes like, I believe is a constant choice. Even Angie and I were talking about that. Like every day you're sitting there going, I choose you. I choose to be patient with you. I choose to be understanding. You know, like.
That's a great way of putting it.
You are though. Like I choose to be with you because like, it is. And so I guess with that, like every relationship has struggles and ups and downs. Is there any advice that you would give for anyone in relationship, whether they're boyfriend, girlfriend or married or anything that like you've learned over the 7 and 11 years together?
I mean, I'm still learning. Actively learning.
Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
I just think it usually comes down to communication. Mm. I think that's the biggest thing that I have learned, am learning, will continue to learn is, especially between me and my wife, we communicate completely differently.
Most men and women do.
And she is such a talker, and I hate talking.
What? And you were on a podcast?
Why do most people always marry?
That's true.
They always marry. Is the ones who like me and you, who don't shut the fuck up. The ones who don't.
It's good balance, though.
Yeah, no, but my boyfriend's talker, though. Maybe not to you, but to me.
Well, no, he talks a lot. I'm just talking about people like you and who can't shut the fuck up.
That's true, though.
I mean, you need to listen as much as you talk, right? And so
I agree.
If you're both just big talkers, then it's hard to figure out who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
But that's always been our issue. Is like, it's not necessarily we're at odds. It's usually we're miscommunicating. And until one of us is a big enough person to be like, hey, that's not what I meant, and I'm sorry I said it that way. Mm-hmm. Let me explain to you really quickly what I did mean, and then be accountable for what I said in the first place.
Yeah.
But usually that's after 30 minutes of just bickering, right?
Sure. That can happen.
So that's usually our biggest fights per se.
Yeah.
But even then it's like, we're not throwing shit. We're trying to maintain a healthy relationship. We're trying to be.
Arguments. Here's the thing though. I think arguments are healthy. I was even talking to my dad about it, because he was telling me, him being angry. I said, Dad, being angry is fine. Having an emotional response and being angry is okay. It's just how you respond, how you decide to react with that anger.
Exactly.
And that's where it can turn not okay. Right? People are allowed to be upset, but when it starts to get into the yelling, throwing, name calling, threatening things, all that shit, that's when it's like, okay, well, you can be angry, but you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
And then with the whole communication thing, it's crazy because you can say one thing and she can say the exact same thing, but you might take it totally different ways.
Half the time it's tone.
Isn't it? Oh, tone. It's
a fucking delivery, man.
Tone.
Tone will, even if you don't feel like you're saying something with a certain tone, you might be.
And but your it happens body to me, language it happens to is her. A tone sometimes too.
That's and true. I'm horrible at tone. A lot of people don't
realize.
Because I say shit and it comes off shitty.
Yeah.
And I don't mean it. And then she'll take it a certain way. And then all of a sudden I'm like, why is she acting differently?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because she's pissed.
Sure.
Because I said something some way and she's like, I've been with him long enough. I know he didn't mean it that way, but it still spiked her adrenaline because she's like, fuck this dude.
Yeah.
And I'm over here
thinking everything's fine in the world.
And then if we get ahead of it and we're like, she'll sure be like, hey, I didn't like how you said that. It came off disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, what? When? And she'll be like, okay, I didn't think you knew it, and I'm sure you didn't mean it that way, and it's just a grown-up conversation, right? But what I think happens most of the time is people don't nip it in the bud.
Very true.
And then
you can't sit on it and let it fester, and then think to never talk about it, because then that too will turn into resentment. You have to talk about the small things.
Exactly. And then I feel like women do this more than men, but I could be wrong, but women will keep score. And so you're building, and it takes me back to the military, right? Like it's a series in your head of misconduct.
Mm.
And you're like, he did that. And 2 weeks later, this is where guys get so confused, because a girl will blow up 2 weeks later over the smallest thing.
Yeah.
And a guy's like, this is the tiniest thing. Why are you blowing up on me? But in your mind, it's like, this is the 12th time you've done this.
Yeah.
That's why you got to talk about it.
Exactly.
I think the biggest fear though, sometimes I think and I don't want to speak for all women, but I can say that I've heard a similar thing, and I've had a problem of holding things in. Like in my last marriage, I wouldn't say certain things because I never wanted to come across as nagging. Cause you hear nagging wife, the nagging this. And I think it also depends on the delivery of things, right? Because if you're coming across like, oh, I can't stand this and can't stand that, that does come across as nagging, right? But if you're communicating very simply and saying, hey, hon, I would appreciate this. Or when you do this, this makes me very happy. Or when you say stuff like this, it kind of hurts my feelings. That's very different. That's just talking about emotions and feelings.
Yeah.
And if that person wants to say that's nagging, or they're not receptive, well, that's a whole nother issue.
Absolutely. Right. If the person you love comes to you and is like, you just hurt my feelings,
mm-hmm.
how can you get defensive?
Correct.
But that's so many
people get so defensive because it's not necessarily like I'm coming to you in a state of vulnerability. I'm coming to you attacking you. Some and then they get defensive and then it's mm-hmm. there's no solution.
Which that's one thing that I have noticed, that sometimes I have to be like very cautious with men, and how I think women feel like sometimes they have to be cautious with men on the way they say things, because I think you can relate to this. If we say that, hey, you like, if we're like, hey, just want to let you know, I know I'm sure you didn't mean anything by that, but the tone of your voice actually did make me feel a little bit disrespected. A lot of guys go, oh, and then they start being like, I fucked up. You like, they're taking it as I suck. I can't do anything right. I'm a failure. Right. And I remember one of the first times I said something to my boyfriend, and he said that, he was like, do you just hate me? And I was like, what? I love you. Yeah. And I was like, I'm just trying to communicate feelings. And I had to like sit there and go, okay, well, I need to make sure that my words are coming across correctly. But I also need to let him know too, that like, when I address, I'm like, man, hey, when I let you know these things, I'm communicating with you because I want us to work together and work this out. I love you to death. I don't think you're failing at all. Actually, there's a lot of times I don't think you know, because I'm a foreign person to you. Like, you're new to me. I'm new to you. You were raised a completely different way. You know, we have completely different lifestyles. Like, you're a man, I'm a woman. Like, there's so many different things that just aren't going to like perfectly mesh up. I can't read your fucking mind and you can't read mine. So the only way to ever know things is communicate. And a lot of times it comes through clarity, I think, too. It's like, hey, I don't think you meant this, but really quick, can you clarify this for me? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then now you can ease your mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that happens with a lot of stuff.
But I think it's kind of human nature to like kind of get defensive or offended about things, because it's hard for people to take criticism naturally. You know what I mean? Like, that's not, nobody likes to feel that way. No. So no matter, I feel like you can have the best delivery in the world, and sometimes it's still going to like, it's not going to be comfortable, but it just comes to like a place of maturity. Like, as you grow older, you learn to be like, huh, yeah, damn, I did do that. I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean that. But when we're younger, it's usually like automatic defense. You're like, ah.
And it's hard as shit.
Yeah, it is. Because it never feels good. No matter how good the delivery is, it's like, oh,
and,
fuck.
Yeah, yeah, and that's it. And I think, like you said, like, it's part of it is going to come down to how you deliver it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even like if you take it to a more, I don't want to say like psychological level, I guess, but a lot of times when you deliver bad news, right, you want to give good news first. Sure. And so you can always say like, I appreciate the crap out of you for trying to do this, and you could do it this way next time, it would work even better, or something like that. Right. And it's like, so trying to like just work on your words when you deliver, the tone of when you deliver. And then I think the last part is, once you're with your partner long enough, knowing their background, more so even their relationship with those who came before you and their relationship with their parents.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of their triggers that you're pushing are from those people.
Yeah, it is.
It has nothing to do with you.
That's very true. And I think it's smart. What I do is we communicate those things, is like, hey, I want you to know, we use the word triggered quite a bit sometimes. Like, hey, I just gotta let you know I'm feeling really triggered from this. And we have to sit there and like, literally, we even sometimes say out loud, like, I understand you're not my past, so I don't want to put this on you because that's not fair. But I just got to let you know there's something from my past that like just reared up from this. And so I'm probably being a little bit more emotional or sensitive than I should be. And then the other person's like, ooh, okay. You know, like, I'll take a step back and maybe ease up. Or because we don't want to like, we want to work through it to where it's no longer a trigger anymore. Right. But that happens.
It takes a lot of time too.
Yeah. I think to myself, because you were talking about that, how it's hard to like take criticism. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking, I could never be wrong when I was younger. And I was like, I realized that happened, I feel like, from my parents, more particularly my dad, because my dad was never wrong. Do you see what I mean? Like, in everything he said, he was always right. It was always his way was the best way. And so I grew up thinking the same thing. Like, if you pack the fucking belt wrong at the grocery store, that was the wrong way. Like, I had to pack it my way. And like, it was so stupid. And it literally would ruin a lot of peace for me. And then like when it came to like someone explaining what I did to hurt them, it also like bruised my ego. And I think another thing is too, is like, I think it made a difference for me growing up, because I wouldn't hear a lot of positive affirmations from my father, but I would always just hear what I did wrong. So I never wanted to hear from anyone else what I did wrong. Yeah. That made sense. And that was like a huge fucking pill to swallow. And that was something I had to be like, they're not telling you that you suck and that you're wrong and you can do no like you can do nothing right. They're just communicating to you like, hey, this is a little area you can work on. It's like self-improvement.
Yeah.
Because I'm the type of person that can read self-help books all day, or at least I used to, and then never want to take any criticism. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, right? That's yeah. the only way that I'm going to grow. And so it's now when I hear something, there'll be a lot of times I may not understand it, but I'm like, okay, I want to hear your side and see your side. And that makes sense. Like I probably, like my thing is I have to work on tone too. I find, you know, like I think when I get mad or a little bit frustrated sometimes, I think I'm being polite, but to a man, he feels like I'm talking down to him. Sometimes like he's a student or like he's another military member because I've been an instructor my whole life. And so in that sense, when I talk to him like a student or someone below me, right, they kind of feel like they're being talked to like a child. And I'm like, whew, that's the last thing that I want because that is disrespectful.
Yeah.
And so I remember one of the first times I was told about this, it was in a heated argument. And I was like, you know, I didn't want to hear anything. And then I sat there, I said, well, both my exes have said the same thing. So this is obviously a thing that I'm really unaware of and I need to be aware of it. Like this is something I need to work on. And so I think the first step for me was going, shit, you're right. I do. Obviously I'm not aware of this. So can you tell me maybe why I'm acting like a bitch? He's like, oh, I could try, but I don't think you're going to be okay in the middle of the argument.
Yeah. Cause then, yeah, like, hey, you're being a bitch.
But I'll bet you that was completely disarming to him too.
It actually did. And that was a pivotal moment in this argument where he was then to sit there and go, you know what? I'm sorry for this too. And I noticed that it's either one or the other. When one of us do that, our argument can go around in circles, but it's until someone goes, you know what? I'm sorry. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts and no excuses. And it doesn't come across as being defensive. And then the other person goes, shit. Yep. Me too.
Dude, sorry was a hard one to learn too, though, for me.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah, dude. I never like, yeah.
Why? I don't know. Did you not hear it a lot growing up?
Yeah. And I think that was just like, I don't know, a weird thing. Like, obviously I would feel sorry. And it was just like, you should just fucking know I'm sorry. Mm. Like, you know what I mean? Like saying I'm sorry took like, I don't know, it was probably like mid 20s before I started like learning to apologize for my like actions or reactions.
Yeah.
That's good though. Yeah. A lot of people don't learn it well past their mid 20s.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck man. Like, why is sorry so hard? But my 4-year-old, she's like, I'm sorry. I was like, she's so good at it. I'm like, man, why is my 4-year-old so good at it? But I still, I'm like, I don't want to fucking say I'm sorry.
But I bet you say, like, when you bump into someone, do you say, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I can look at somebody and say, I'm sorry.
So that's the thing is women will say it all day long sometimes to, like, everyone else, you know, like, even sometimes when I, like, vent to my dude and I'm like, I'm so sorry I'm putting this on you. He's like, stop. First of all, he's like, please don't apologize. I'm here for you always. You know, second of all, like, I want to be there for you. I'm like, okay. I always think that sometimes we think that we're a burden.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know why. Yeah. Sometimes we think that. No.
But with the kid thing, how do you and your wife feel about like arguments in front of your kids?
Oh,
we don't.
You don't?
I mean, if it's arguing with each other, mm-hmm. we keep them respectful because we do think like your children have to know people are going to disagree.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's the world.
Yep.
And so it's more of a modeling of how to disagree.
Yeah.
And so when we argue with each other, it's like, let's show them how to have communication. Let's show them how to come to an agreement on something. Yeah, a resolution. And then if one of us is just super pissed, it's like, let's not talk about this right now.
Yeah. No, that's so great. Because like I, for the longest time, like, so growing up, I never seen like healthy fighting. It was like very like abusive and toxic and crazy. So I was like, my daughter will never see an argument. She'll never hear like nothing. And then it was like a video that I seen of this therapist and he was talking about how like a lot of people think that they shouldn't argue in front of their kids, but it's very important that like kids see like people argue and then come to like a healthy resolution and then like carrying on past that so kids know how to like get over stuff. And I was like, wow, like it blew my mind. I was like, I never thought of that before.
It's true.
But it makes so much sense. Yeah.
But I think that's smart though to recognize like, okay, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you both realize like, hey, you good to talk about this later? Yeah, sure. You know,
well, it's like what you said, like sometimes she'll say something that triggers me and I'm just like, I don't want to talk at all right now.
Yeah.
And
people need space sometimes.
Yeah. It's like, sometimes I need a second to realize that. And sometimes most of the time it's, hey, it has nothing to do with you right now. That just for some reason made me really upset.
Yeah.
And it's me, but I need a minute before we talk about it.
Right.
But most of the time, I mean, we've been together long enough that it's like, okay, let's talk through this. And usually it's me being too goofy or something. Uh-huh. And then she's like, the kids are watching, like, let's be serious. And so we'll say, okay, no, we can't do this or that, and work through it in a very
healthy way.
Yeah. Because it's exactly that. Like, and the same thing with our kids though, too. Like sometimes my older one, more so than the younger one still, will trigger me. Mm. And it's mostly just respect. Mm-hmm. Like he'll do something that in his mind is completely just innocent and playful. And I'm like, that was super disrespectful, but you have no cultural knowledge of it because you're three.
Yeah.
And so it's like, hey, let me talk to you and explain to you and try and get you to understand what you just did. And it could be something as like, I'm going to fart in your face. Like something silly like that. Like that's like the recent thing he likes to do. Yeah. Is like
fart in people's faces.
He doesn't even do it. He's just like, I'm going to fart in your face because
my daughter actually does that.
He saw it on some show or something. And I'm like,
oh my God.
But then I have to explain to him like, hey, you can't do that or like silly stuff like that. But, and then having that conversation with him and making him feel like he has a ownership over his decisions. So that he also doesn't go into relationships feeling like he has to apologize or ask to be an active person.
Yeah.
Which is even harder. My wife is way better than me at this stuff, but it's a lot.
Dude, like, parenting is
emotional intelligence in general is not something I was raised with.
Mm, yeah.
And so I'm like late to the game here and trying to learn it.
Yeah, but at least you're trying though.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And like work. I mean, I think what Angie and I talk about quite a bit on the podcast is that we truly believe that our parents did the best that they were given, right? From what they were given from their parents. Really truly believe that most parents do their best from what they know, from what they've learned, and then they give you that. And they're going to fuck up. It's inevitable. And you know how we always say like we don't want to become our parents, where in a lot of times we do become a part of them. A little bit, because that's what we grew up with and that's what we saw, and it's kind of inherently built in us. So like the neural pathways in our brain are built in a particular way. So if you want to like rebuild those to go a different route, you have to create a habit, be aware and keep doing it daily and then break that.
Yep.
Right. So it's hard too when, cause with having a lack of emotional intelligence, you're building something that was kind of never there.
Or negative.
yeah, going the opposite and working against it. And so it is difficult. And then I just know talking, like my younger brother is having a baby. Like he's the youngest in the family. He's the first to give my parents a grandchild. I'm glad he's succeeding.
Way to step up.
I know. I was like, I failed on that one. But like he's very much like coming into his very mature self. He's realizing he's about to be a father at 25 years old. So he's like, shit. And he's sitting there and he was talking to me. He's like, you know, there's many things that mom and dad did that I'm going to emulate and take into my marriage and relationship with my child. But then he's like, there's also many things that I'm not going to do too, you know? And I love that. And part of me was like, you do realize, I was like, I love that. And I know that you're going to do your best, but don't be hard on yourself if you have the tendency to go towards some of those things, because that might be natural. You just have to break that habit. And he's like, okay, because we can.
That's great advice.
Hard on ourselves. Well, yeah. I've sat there. My mom did the same thing. I remember my mom with me, her grandma, my grandma had anger issues and she would take it out sometimes on the kids. And my mom was like, I'll never do that to my kids. And then my mom said the first time she did it to me, she was like, and was like, I'm my mother. You know, and like,
but kids just have the ability to make you fucking snap sometimes, man. Like, so I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wow.
But like, it's one of those things where she's like, I was so hard on myself from it. And sometimes when we are so hard on ourselves, we don't change. We just focus on how we're just like kind of failing. And I guess this is the way it is.
When we take for granted, their generation didn't have Google.
Very true. Like,
they didn't have social media. They didn't if they wanted to learn how to be a better parent, they had to either find something on like TV or go to the library.
That's and so hope true. There was a book on it. Did they even make books about that back then? Probably not a lot. You know,
I mean, maybe Reader's Digest had an article in it. I don't know. Right. Like there wasn't resources. And so it's like, at least nowadays we have the resources to go look up a study and to dive deeper into it. And on the other hand too, like therapy is so like, it's lost its bad
I was just gonna
annotation.
Say that. I feel like back in the day, it was looked so down upon and it was like this horrible thing that no one wanted to talk about. And I feel like it's so, I feel like it's more welcomed now.
Yeah. And so it's, to us at least, it's like, okay, it's not, it shouldn't feel like there's more pressure, but you also should be using resources. You shouldn't just be winging parenting based off of what you didn't like what your parents did.
Yeah.
You can't just go left or right. You should figure out the actual best case scenario. And it's exactly like what you're talking about, Angie. It's like, oh, I watched this video with a psychologist and they opened my eyes to something. But if you weren't out there looking, you wouldn't have ever known.
No. True. Cause she would have ended up just like me. Like I didn't know when I 18 going into the army and getting into relationships, like I didn't know how to fight or handle conflict. Cause all I ever seen was like, let's fist fight about this, you know? Like, and I knew that wasn't the right answer, but it was like, how do people fight?
So what else is there?
Yeah. Like I know that I didn't handle shit the right way. And my daughter would have done the same. Cause she wouldn't know how to handle things either. And I was like, wow, I'm thinking that I'm protecting her from what I had to learn, but I'm actually doing it the same, just in a different way. Like, holy shit.
Yeah, and
like,
it's just the pendulum going back and forth.
Right, right.
And that's exactly, I think, the issue. Like a lot of my early life, I joke that I learned to do the right thing by doing the opposite of what my mother did a lot of times. And so I would at least learn from her mistakes and try and navigate my own decisions based off of them. But it wasn't really until I started looking way more outward than that and figuring out, okay, what are other people doing? Like, how can I attach to other people? How can I see the strategies and the plans that other people are putting in place that maybe have 20 steps ahead of me to try and get a 10th of what they have and not a 20th? Yep. And it's a big part of it, right? And not only what you're doing just with your life, but like your business, your relationships.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, if you're not seeing what everyone else is doing and if you're not trying to actively learn always, then you're just being lazy. And it goes back to what you were asking, but like, don't be lazy in a relationship.
Yeah.
Treat your relationship just like you treat everything else. And if you're just going to be lazy in it, then your partner is going to eventually leave you.
Well, that's what we talked about. We talked about on here before that people should be treating a relationship like they treat their job. It's not a job. But you should be treating it like a job. If you don't show up to your job and put in effort and put in work, you're going to lose it. It's the same thing at the gym. How do you expect to not go to the gym or go to the gym and barely put any effort in, right? And not eat right and all these other things, but then see results. So it's the same thing with relationships. And I sometimes think that that gets lost because I think people just think like, oh, it's good now. Like it's like once they like put enough effort in, yeah, they do put it on autopilot and it's like, cool, I don't got to touch it anymore. It's like, no, this is like a daily thing.
And I've done that. So I totally get it. Like it's hard because especially if everything else in your life is ramping up,
I know
something has to give. And, and that's also comes back to communication though, too. Like a lot of times me and my wife will have the conversation, like if I do this, the next 6 months are going to suck.
Yeah.
I need you to know that going in and I need us to make this decision together.
Yeah.
Because
so you can give me some grace during this period.
I'm going to need some grace. Yeah. I'm not going to be present. I'm going to be working every fucking night until 9:10 PM.
Yeah.
But it's good and smart to have those conversations.
And then you build in the breaks, right? Yes. And so once a month we are doing date night. There's no excuse about it. We have to do it. Or once a week we're doing 1 hour for us, like whatever it is, right? You have to build in because you also can't expect your partner to just not have expectations.
Correct.
You can't just leave them. And that also comes with like, are you building together? Are you building your lane and are they building theirs? And I think that's the other big pitfall people have in relationships. And oddly enough, it was my wife's dad who told us early on, which he's not done well in relationships or had not done well in relationships, but he gave us some of the best advice we ever got for marriage.
Yeah.
And it was grow together. And so everyone that I've known that has fallen apart within a relationship, it always comes down to really two things. It's communication and it's growing apart. And so if you're building an empire, the person you're with needs to be building it with you. And if they're not a part of that, then eventually they're going to feel that way. They're going to feel like they're not a part of your life because what you're building is your life.
Very true.
And so I think that's the other big thing.
Have you ever heard of the threes rule for marriages?
I don't think so.
Every 3 days, you sit down and like check in with each other and make sure that you're like meeting their needs. Like, what could you be doing better? What am I doing good? Like every 3 days, you just kind of check in and have like a chat and like make sure everything's going good. And then every 3 weeks you have a date night where you get a babysitter. And then every 3 months you get like a hotel where it's like a full like day or weekend to just like,
I've heard something similar.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm a huge proponent. I mean, obviously I'm still in a new relationship, but I'm a huge proponent of that check-in. Like, I think that's really important. Even if it's just like end of the week, you know, if you
like a little AAR.
Yeah.
Like how's our relationship going?
Sundays or whatever is your down days or just whatever. It's just like, even my counselor that I went to for a long time after my divorce would tell me that same thing. Like if I was dating someone, even at the beginning of the conversation, you'd be like, what was your high for the day? What was your low for the day? Is there anything in your life right now that's currently causing you stress? And then is there anything that I can do to help alleviate that? Like those were the questions they told me to ask. And I was like, well, damn. And
so you don't even think about those things, like think to ask. But then again, like with being married with kids, it's so easy to like stop doing the date nights or like every 3 months to like go get a hotel and get away. It's like to think about like having to do those things. It seems exhausting. But then when you do them, you're like, wow, like we needed that break to just
you guys
like,
are dropping gems right now for me. I appreciate
but like
it.
To just for you and your wife to be able to connect. Cause it's like when you're married, obviously my marriage didn't work out. But like when you're married with kids, like you kind of for a little bit, you lose like the husband and wife aspect and you just are mom and dad. Yeah. And it's like being husband and wife gets put on the back burner and it's just about being mom and dad, where it's like being husband and wife is the most important because that will make you better parents.
It's a core and it's a foundation of the entire family. Yeah.
So it's like taking care of your marriage takes care of your entire family.
It does.
We talk about it a lot too, actually, but it's along those lines of if you put your marriage first, the parenting will follow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times we talk about that. It's really hard to be a parent, to run a business or work 9-10 hour days, whatever it is, right? To try and have a personal life even a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then to also like get your fitness in.
Yeah.
Do this, go grocery shopping, XYZ, and then find time to actually just care and do something nice with your partner, right?
Right.
And so that is so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we've personally like had to have check-ins where we're like, we need to refocus and do this. And a lot of times what we'll talk about too is like in 20 years, our boys will be out of the house and all we'll have is each other.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
And you the rest of our lives.
That's my parents right now.
We have boys. Boys leave the house. Girls will eventually come back and take care of the family is kind of like the thing.
Well, the thing is too, is like when boys leave, they'll communicate with you like every once 3-4 months, but women will call all the time. We call adults all the time.
Exactly.
And I see it in every family.
Boys usually, I think for the most part, go to the wife's house for the holidays or for this or for that. And I think girls usually bring the boys home.
I can see that.
And that could be very family dynamic dependent too, but that is like a lot of it. And so it's like, okay, we know our boys are going to go get married. They're going to start their own families. We have to continue to build what we have too, because eventually they're going to have lives. They're going to be adults.
Yeah.
And it's not going to revolve around us. And no, so while we are like in the moment so much right now, because they're 3 and 4 or 2 and 4 and they are so dependent on us. And it's such like, this is the best time of our lives. We tell ourselves all the time, this is the best time of our lives because of the age they're at.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, even when they're teenagers, they're not going to want to hang out with us. They're not going to want to be our friends.
No.
And we're going to only have each other. And so if we let our marriage go for the next 5 years because we're trying to live in everything else, we're going
to
regret it.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to reel it back. It's easy to like come together at night and have sex, but that's not connecting. And I think a lot of people miss that. They're like, oh, well, we're still having sex. It's like, okay, you're still having sex, but are you like actually intimate with your partner and another level, or are you just like, there's a big difference. And I feel like that's where a lot of people go wrong, is they don't keep the friendship and the relationship with the marriage.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you would like to hear the remainder of the episode, please click the link in the caption below, which will bring you to the Patreon page for Big T Energy. We really appreciate all your support. And with your continued support through our Patreon page, we will eventually in the future be able to make this podcast free on all platforms for everyone to listen to. I'm feeling, girl, I'm jaded.